Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Reds to really be tested, but he seems to be in good shape. We'll see. See how he comes back tomorrow from the work he had today. And then obviously the next 5 weeks will be critical for him.
Big Fan Show on Melvin Gordon. Melvin was there. Hey, Melvin Gordon!
Welcome to the team, Melvin. Good to have you around. I heard he looked slim. I heard he looked fit. I heard he had a nice little burst. That's good.
Yeah.
You fun. Better, because somebody's been hanging out and keeping your seat awfully warm for you, pal. That's good that he looked good, though.
He looked good. He looked in shape. He looked sharp. He looked fit. I mean, running backs, yo. You know, running backs always tend to look pretty good this time of year, though. And there's always a bunch of kind of...
No tackling. Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, if you hit a hole that's and you right. go through, the linebackers are going to pull up. You correct. Can never tell if it was a 2-yard gain or if it was a 20-yard gain.
Correct. Correct.
I got my grades, by the way.
Okay.
I finished up my grading system. I'm ready to
you
rock
wanna
and roll.
You
want to
say anything else about Melvin Gordon? Or you
no.
Know?
I mean, I'm glad that Melvin's around. I did hear that he looked good today. Sounds like he would agree with that. It sounded like he had a little bit of an extra burst. I still think that he's a fool to let Javonte Williams take all those reps, but especially when the shelf life of a running back is so short. But good for him. He looks that's good.
Sure. All right. Let me play a Teddy Bridgewater and a Drew Lock cut on the competition.
Okay.
You got my notes that Richie Carney did such a good job interpreting, because it is unbelievable what Richie did in translating and DaVinci coding my
yes,
notes.
Yes.
Because they did not come out that way, and he turned them into a masterpiece. And so we'll get your grades here in a second. All right, Teddy Bridgewater. And this is a day where it's widely been reported that Drew Lock won the day. The only debate seems to be the degree of enthusiasm in which that's being reported. But here's Teddy Bridgewater about how he's approaching practice, knowing he's in a competition.
You know, he just keeps shooting. You don't get carried away and what's going on. You just keep playing ball. When I'm out there, I understand my job is just to find completions, get the ball to my guys and not my opponents, keep our offense on the field. So, you know, everything else will take care of itself. It's one play at a time when you're out there. If you look too far ahead, you know, that's when you fall. So just keep shooting. That's the mindset.
Savvy vet. Savvy vet. Drew Lock on the QB competition.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that, but I'd say that the easy question is just focusing on yourself and what your job is, you know, not letting a ball hit the ground affect you. I mean, balls are going to hit the ground in the game. You're going to throw a pick in a game. There's going to be bad points in a game. There's going to be bad points in a camp. You're going to have a bad day. It's about moving on to the next play and just growing from those mistakes so that you can go out there on Sundays during the year and really benefit from those bad days in camp.
Okay. Yeah, both sound like pretty mature dudes right there. What do you got?
All right, so here's what I did. I took D-Mac's notes that Richie decoded through the DaVinci code, put it in front of me, and through my 3 degrees of separation, I have given a percentage grade to these quarterbacks based off of how I would be graded in real life, off of my career and just about everybody. I heard Mark Schlereth talking about how he was graded. He was graded the exact same way.
Yep.
And here's how it works. So when you play the game, you come in on Monday, you get your grade sheet, and for every play, there's two columns, and it's a very simple system. You get a check, or you could get a minus minus, or you could get a check minus or a minus check, whatever it is, right? So here's how it works. The first column, did you know your assignment? Pretty simple. You should get a check on every single play in the first column.
Okay.
Second column, did you execute your assignment? Okay. Now, the outliers where you can get a little bit extra credit or a little bit of negative extra credit is if you did something really bad or if you did something really good. So, like as an offensive lineman, I could get a plus one if I got a pancake. I could get a minus one if I gave up a sack, right? So even though I got a check for the first two, I could still get a minus one if there was a really bad end result, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense so far?
Sure.
It's a pretty simple system. So you go through it. I tallied it all up. I used just all I've got is the way that you described the play, okay? And I came up with the grade. So I went play by play, gave the check, minus, plus one, minus one. Who do you want first?
Let's do Teddy Bridgewater first.
Okay. So they each. Oh,
let me ask you a quick question. Do you factor in any of the situations? For example, does play in team 11 on 11 mean more than 7 on 7? Does red zone mean more than something else?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. They all get graded the same. So it doesn't matter where you're at on the field. It's the exact same grading system.
Okay.
So now I had to draw a few conclusions through my gigantic game of telephone here, whether they knew their assignment or not.
Right.
So look, this is definitely not exact science, but I've got what I've got. So they did each get the exact same amount of snaps, which is interesting, according to your notes here.
Yep.
They each got 32 snaps. Okay. So you got a total of possibility of 64 of what you could get. Teddy Bridgewater ends up with 51 out of 64. Now, I could break it down, and maybe I'll do that after the fact, after I give you the two grades about where these guys did well, where they did poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up with a grade of a 79.6% on the day.
Okay.
Okay. So let me just give you, some information so you know, how to relate that. As a player, if I got anything above an 85, man, I was throwing a party. I felt like I had the game of my life.
Okay.
Okay. If I got anything below a 76, I felt like, oh, I'm looking for the pink slip. Somebody's going to fire me.
Okay.
So anything kind of between a 76 and 85, it's kind of normal territory. Anything in the 80s is probably a good game. Anything in the 70s is probably not good enough.
All right. Okay? Fascinating. I love it.
So, Teddy Bridgewater ends up with a 79.6% on the day, just on the cusp of being a reasonably good day.
Okay. All right. And you have the numbers for Drew Lock?
I do. Yes.
We'll get to those coming up next. How about that? It's the Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's the Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I love this grading thing, man. So,
yeah, buddy.
Did Drew Lock win today? Yeah, he did. Did he dominate today? I thought he dominated, especially where he needed to dominate, which was, scoring plays, that type of thing. But you said when you did the grading system, all plays count equally. Okay, fine, cool. It all worked out that Teddy Bridgewater today, according to,
So Teddy, quick recap, if you missed the last segment, I graded these guys based off how I got graded as a player, based off D-Mac's explanation of what happened. So game of telephone here, definitely not accurate, but as close as we can get. And the system is a simple system. It's two checks. Did you know your play? Did you know your assignment? And did you execute your assignment? So you can get a +2 on each play, and then you can get a +1 if you throw a touchdown, or you can get a -1 if you throw an interception, or if you get a guy killed by throwing it to a bad spot type of deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Teddy Bridgewater ends up with a 51 out of 64 on the day. That's a 79.6% grade, which, again, that's about acceptable. If you've got anything over an 85, it's a game of a life. Anything below a 76, and you're feeling like you're getting fired. Now, before I get to Drew, a little bit of a fascinating trend developed throughout the day. Okay, I actually broke it down before I give you Drew Lock's day. I'm going to tell you period by period who won the period.
Okay.
And here's what's interesting. So if you break it down, Drew Lock won 3 periods. Okay. Based off the grades.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater won 1 period.
Okay.
They tied the rest of the periods.
Okay.
However, there was one major outlier period. Okay. One big time outlier period where somebody really failed. That was Drew Lock. Drew Lock had one really big time outlier period where he played really, really bad. Second period of the day.
Okay.
They both had bad periods, but Drew Lock had a really bad period.
Interesting.
So here's how it breaks down. Drew Lock wins more periods.
Drum roll, please, Kevin. Here we go.
Drew Lock wins more periods on the day.
Yeah.
Grade, overall percentage.
Yeah.
lower than Teddy Bridgewater.
Wow.
Drew Lock gets a 50 out of 64. Very close. Teddy Bridgewater got a 51 out of 64.
Wow.
Drew Lock ends up with a 78%. Now, I want to break it down just a little bit further in detail because it's fascinating. And I'm telling you, now that you know the system, you could go through it and you could grade your own plays and you could see what you come out at just to double check me that I'm not messing with anything.
All
right?
I trust you.
But
so
first period, they both got a 4 out of 6. Okay. So, a tie on the period. They both had one bad play and that's it. Okay. Second period. Well, not a good period for our buddy Drew Lock. Drew Lock actually ended up in the negative in this period. So out of 12 possible points, he actually got a negative on it. So first play, hesitates. You don't tell me what happens on it. So all I've got on that one is I gave it an X and a minus one, right? So you can go back in your memory and correct me if there's anything that
they hesitates, blows the whistle, nothing happens.
Okay, but if you hesitate, you didn't deliver the ball.
You could get sacked.
Got sacked. You're getting also, minus one.
Yeah.
You're getting a minus one.
It's 7-on-7 too. I mean, it's like, it's not.
Next play of that period, Lock throws way off target,
way
deep
off target.
Over the middle, should have been intercepted.
It was in hands and dropped by a safety.
So he gets an X and a minus two because it should have been an interception. Okay. So now we're in the negative. Third play of the period, Lock hesitates and scrambles from the pocket.
Right.
Play is deemed a sack.
Right.
So he takes 2 out of 3 sacks and he throws an interception in one period.
Right.
He ends up with a negative out of 12 possibilities. He gets a negative on that.
Right.
That period right there crushed him, and that's a great microcosm of who Drew Lock is.
Because if that happens early in the game, the game's over. It could be.
Seriously, if you go out and you've got 3 series in a row like that, or even 4 or 5 straight plays like that, the game is over.
Yeah.
Like you're down by 17, you're
Correct.
Down by 21.
Correct.
That's what happens. So the rest of the day, I mean, I won't spend as much detail on it, but it's just kind of fascinating.
He's coming from behind.
So now he's playing from
day.
Behind. Teddy Bridgewater got he got a 5 out of 6 on that period. Go forward.
That's really interesting.
And now we're into 11 on 11s. Drew Lock gets an 8 out of 8. Teddy gets a 7 out of 8. Drew wins the period. Go to the next period. They both get 8 out of 8. They both were perfect, so they got a tie. Now we're further into 7 on 7s. They both got a 14 out of 16. Absolute tie on the period. Now we go to the later parts of the day, and Drew Lock gets an 8 out of 8 on the next period. Teddy gets a 7 out of 8. Last period of the day, Teddy Bridgewater gets a 6 out of 8, and Drew Lock gets a 7 out of 8 because he took another – it should have been 8 out of 8, but he takes another sack and he gets a minus 1. So on the day, you've got Drew Lock is taking 3 sacks and throwing what should have been 1 interception. Tough to call that an exciting day. I'm sorry.
Okay. But he also throws 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
And Teddy Bridgewater had nothing.
Right. Well,
you know,
I mean,
what?
I'm just telling you that is how I would, that is exactly how I would have been graded.
No problem.
And so,
it does point out,
it's the extremes. Drew Lock had the extreme good moments and he had the extreme bad moments. Guess how many negatives Teddy Bridgewater had on the day?
Two.
He had 2 negatives. So,
I don't mean
like a check minus or a check X.
Yeah.
I just mean like you get the extra minus or the extra plus.
Okay.
Whereas Drew Lock had an accumulation of them.
So it would be unfair then to say by that evaluation the Drew Lock dominated Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, by that evaluation he lost the day.
He lost the day. Yeah.
That is much closer to the reports that everybody else gave, unfortunately.
But you got to separate what happens when it's time to score the football, and I guess that's where I gave more value to the fact that when things were clicking with Drew. Things were really clicking to the degree that they were scoring. There was things happening, meaning even if Drew Lock is this is true too, and we already know this, I guess. If Drew Lock is struggling, Tyler, there is a possibility that he can turn it on and make stuff happen. Whereas the likelihood of Teddy Bridgewater turning it on to make something happen isn't nearly as likely. However,
agreed.
It's more likely.
But Teddy's also not going to have that period where he got a negative out of 6 possible plays. He gets a negative, right?
He'll make fewer mistakes.
So here's what you got. You're right. Drew Lock had the exciting moments. That's who he is. Drew Locke also had the other end of the spectrum there. He had the really terrible period that got you down by 14 points. Teddy Bridgewater went out there, steady Eddie, that's who he was. It's fascinating now that I've broken it down.
Crazy.
Now that I heard your, I totally get your analysis because you saw the exciting stuff and that's what you want to live with, right? And now I get the other reports as well that, well, hold on, when you add it all up, it's not that good of a day. And somebody says Tyler's grading 11 on 11s, the same as 7 on 7. Hey man, when you become an NFL coach, do you want to decide how you're going to do the grading system? That's fine. I'm telling you how they grade in the NFL. And I'm telling you, this is how you would get graded.
Oh, I totally believe you.
So yes, this is exactly how you would get your grade.
So does it, in my layman's opinion, it matters more what happens later in the red zone and third down than it matters in the first quarter. And I mean, I'm seeing Teddy check down. There's a lot of three and outs in there, dude. It's if you get ready for 2nd and 7 with Teddy Bridgewater. Okay. And then get ready for 3rd and 5. Okay. And then we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you this. If your offensive line is clicking and you've got a really good running game, Teddy Bridgewater's going to move the ball. I don't know if he's going to score the ball. That to me is an issue. I know Drew Locke, I've seen it, can do some pretty exciting things in terms of scoring, but he can also make some crazy mistakes.
Yeah.
I just have seen no evidence from Teddy Bridgewater.
Of excitement.
Yes.
Right.
None.
Right.
Zero.
It's Teddy Two Gloves, man.
All right, so maybe dominate's the wrong word. I could say Drew Locke had a more exciting day than Teddy
Bridgewater.
There you
go. That would be accurate.
All right.
For sure.
So maybe I can amend things a little bit, and I'm happy to do so.
It was your grades.
I love it. All right, well, hey, now we laid it out there for you. You tell us, what would you rather have? There you go. I think we've been seeing all these things. That's really awesome and fascinating to have it graded out to sort of confirm analytically what we thought we had been watching. Hot Take Tuesday kicks off next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Dude, we just had the funniest thing during the break, man. So Tyler did it was awesome. Great team effort today, by the way. So.
Whoa.
Out at practice, I really did sit down and take notes. I wouldn't say chart. I'm not arrogant enough to say I charted anything. But I took shorthand notes about every single play in 7-on-7 and team practice 11-on-11. The whole day. Okay? But there were a couple moments because I'm just doing it on my phone. I'm trying to, you know, I'm just like I got it in an email, you know, that sort of format. So... no, I knew I made a couple of typos. Richie did this ridiculously good job, like, interpreting my... Well, it wasn't chicken scratch, because I did type it out, thank God. If I handwritten it and sent it, forget it. Nobody would have known nothing. I had a couple of typos. One of the typos was on the second period that Drew Locke was out there on, and it just says, Locke hesitates.
Yeah.
Well, he did... But Richie could not figure out what the rest of it was because I had a typo in there. I wrote mod 80. What I meant is mid, but I didn't complete it. 80, meaning middle of the field to number 80.
Gotcha.
So he did hesitate a little bit, but then he did complete a pass to number 80. Julius Thomas came back. And
So we need a recount.
We need a recount.
Well, here's how that works. So ironically, on that particular play, so not a lot changes in the grade, but one part does change, and they would end up literally with the exact same grade, 51 out of 64. Here's what changes. Here's what does not. Based off the way it was written previously, we made the assumption, because you told me in the last segment that he took a sack on that play, so he got a plus minus and then a minus one in addition for taking the sack, right? Well, the plus minus will stay the same because he knew the assignment, but he did not execute it well because he hesitated. So although he did complete the ball, it's still a minus, but the minus one goes away. So now he doesn't get that extra minus one on that play. Now it's 51 out of 64. The two guys tied.
That is a riot.
I love this.
That is a riot.
A couple texts that I just got to get to. This is why people think you are haters of Drew Lock. Three touchdowns don't count for anything. No, yes, they do. I mean, seriously. So listen, I said that, yes, every play is weighted the same, but when you throw a touchdown, you get an extra plus. So you get a plus one on that play. So yes, his three touchdowns, it did count for extra in his grade. And if it were not for those three touchdowns, it would have been a blowout in the scoring system. And another one that I love is, oh, rolling on the floor, laughing, ties, in parentheses, I hate Drew bias scoring system. That's the best part of this. First off, not my grades, D-Max grades, that are not my evaluation of the play, D-Max evaluation of the play, and then the analytics will tell you what the actual score is. So there's no way to have a biased opinion on this. I am simply taking D-Max evaluation of the play, and I'm putting the score on it in a very simple manner that there is no room for bias. There's no room. It's a plus-minus system.
There you go.
So they tied.
So, man, it's wild.
In my game of telephone. they tied in my 3 degrees of separation game of telephone grading system.
I guess the tricky thing to really analyze and break down is the guy who's more likely to be able to convert for you in the red zone worth the risk that it takes to get to the red zone.
Yes, as long as the guy that throws those touchdowns does not make mistakes along the way. So you can be a risk taker without making mistakes. You can. You can take shots.
And I think Drew's getting better. Look at the other stuff. Yeah, okay, it wasn't perfect, but there weren't interceptions. They weren't balls thrown in the dirt. They weren't like ridiculous overthrows. I mean, it was...
Well, no. I mean, for example...
And his good throws were really good. I mean, in tight windows, down seams, in like tight spots that Teddy Bridgewater wasn't willing to go.
Sort of. I mean, that's sort of true. It's sort of not. I mean, this, again, your evaluation, not mine. But based off that one period, the first play, you've got him hesitating. So you do get one minus on that. The second play, he throws way off target. You said it should have been an interception. So I'm going to count that as an interception. If it should have been an interception, that's how you get graded. It doesn't matter if it actually was. Like, for example, if I give up a hit on a quarterback and it should have been a sack, yet the quarterback somehow miraculously escapes it and throws a completion, do you think I get a plus-plus on my grade?
No.
No, I get the minus two for what should have been an actual sack. So he still had the three straight negative plays in a row, which all would have been really, really difficult to overcome in reality. So you've got a situation where he puts you behind the eight ball, probably gets you down by 7-14 points, but then he does make the comeback at the end of the game with all the exciting stuff.
That's right. What do you want?
Well, what do I want, or what does Vic Fangio want?
Yeah. What does Pat Shurmur want?
What do I want? I want excitement. I mean, what do I want as a fan, as an analyst, as a dude that relies on the Broncos for what we do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody that's going to go out there and throw three touchdowns. For sure, that's what I want.
Right.
But if you're Vic Fangio and you're sitting there looking at that, especially as a defensive-minded head coach, and you're looking at these two grades and you're saying, well, one guy got me behind by 10 points early in the game. The other guy was just steady Eddie. Who do you think he's going to choose?
Yeah, if you love offensive line play and running backs, Teddy Bridgewater is your guy. That is your dude right there. And you can win like that. You can. You can win like that. It's hard to score in the red zone like that. It's hard to put up a lot of points in a game like that. But you can figure out 28 to 32 points like that. There's ways to do it. And by the way, when we went back and watched film of Teddy Bridgewater from last year, we would see games where the Panthers were, Tyler, just kind of grinding it out, grinding it out, grinding it out. And then, boom, it's a Teddy Bridgewater floater down the field to a guy who's wide open. And, you know, hey, there you go. It's a big play.
You know what?
Those teams get sucked into it.
There's something really interesting developing right now, and you're going to find out who really's got say, who's got the power, because I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a major difference in opinion between the offensive coordinator and the head coach, and I'll break that down for you. But it's developing, and you're going to find out who's really got the power.
All right, well, let's dig into that coming up, and we will also more. The texts are rolling in. I love them. We'll get into them. Hot Take Tuesday brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. There is a heat alert out right now.
Warning.
Heat warning. 99 degrees. I'm looking on the, I've never seen this on the computer. I have never seen on our computer a temperature with the word alert after it.
Well, it's the first time in history, D-Mac.
It's not here. not here, not now, not ever, but here you go, baby. It's heating up. It's Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I'm excited to talk to Tory Rang about what he thought about minicamp today. Kyle Fuller, we got to talk about him coming up in a little bit.
Mad respect.
All right. We'll get there in just a bit, or maybe even before Troy. But go ahead. What were you talking about? The difference between an offense coordinator and the coach? It's a quarterback thing.
Well, there's something interesting developing here because you've got two guys that are both kind of have their lives on the line. Vic Fangio has a head coach. He's got his life on the line. He's got to make a decision. Who's going to give me the better opportunity to have a job as a head coach? And Pat Shurmur, well, I don't think that Pat Shurmur's ever going to be a head coach again, but I bet in Pat Shurmur's mind he thinks he's going to be a head coach again, right? And so if you look at those two guys and which guy's going to get them to where they want to be? Well, for Vic Fangio, you would think, logically, if he wants to be a head coach again, he's probably going to play Teddy Bridgewater. But for Pat Shurmur, he's got to excel. He's got to do something special and unique in order to become a head coach again, right? You can't become a head coach by having some boring offense that nobody wants to be a part of by having Teddy Bridgewater out there, right? So I actually think that now that I've done some further thinking on it, Pat Shurmur is probably going to advocate for Drew Locke to be his quarterback because he is the exciting one.
Okay.
He is the guy that is going to give him – who's going to give Pat Shurmur a better chance of becoming a head coach? Teddy Bridgewater might win you some games. He might not lose you any games.
Interesting.
But you think Teddy Bridgewater is going to go out there and do something exciting enough to get Pat Shurmur another head coaching job? No.
No.
Drew Locke might be able to, though.
Wow.
So who's going to have the power? Who's going to have the say?
That is really interesting. You know, going through my notes, Drew Locke has been the first guy, horse out of the barn, every single time for everything they're doing until one particular phase of practice today.
Okay, what was that?
Well, all right, hold on. I know, and Richie, who was doing the interpretation, helped out here. Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. They went from 7-on-7, where Drew Locke, this is the second, it's kind of like the first session was 7-on-7, then team 11-on-11. And then they did special teams. And then they came back and they did more plays. So they would do four plays in the first session of 7-on-7s and 11-on-11. In the second session, they actually did more plays in 7-on-7s. They did 8. Drew Locke had 8 plays, and so did Teddy Bridgewater. After the 7-on-7s, when they went to team, Teddy Bridgewater, although he came on second for the 7-on-7s, when they went to team 11-on-11 from the 30-yard line, that's when Teddy Bridgewater took the first reps. So practice, and then they went back and forth. So practice did end with Drew Locke instead of Teddy Bridgewater. So they did change things in the final, it was like the 30-yard line, Tyler, so it's unfair to say it was exactly red zone, although they ran quite a few plays in the red zone.
Ish.
Yeah, scoring area, and they started right around the 30, and they moved in. So it definitely was like, time to score the ball. This is the final phase of practice. It's impossible. They were using yard markers, meaning they were counting what the downs were, so they were calling plays based on...
So it wasn't... That means it wasn't scripted, is what that means. So when you pull out the down and distance, that means that you're going to call the first play, and then whatever happens after that, if it goes from 1st and 10 to 2nd and 6, well, now Pat Shurmur has to call a play for 2nd and 6.
It wasn't exactly move the ball, not exactly move the ball,
okay.
but it was definitely... It felt scripted, like, okay, no matter what, now... Instead of 1st and 10 at the 32.
Now we're going to practice 2nd and 6.
Exactly.
Now we're going to practice 2nd and 4.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. But they were still, it still mattered. What they were doing was mad. They were practicing a down and distance where they weren't doing that for these other plays. These other plays were just kind of like, you know, whatever. The final session of the practice was, this is a down and distance. This is a scoring situation. and it's hard not to imagine it was fourth quarter sort of replication. Also, you would know, too, in those situations, by almost a 2-1 margin, they were letting they were having Teddy hand the ball off and letting Drew run around and throw.
You know, that was the other thing that I was going to count. I didn't get to it, but I'm going to be I'll do that after we talk to Troy here in a minute. I'm going to count how many plays they each got to throw as a pass versus how many they had to hand off.
Yeah, and it was definitely at the end of practice they were letting Drew throw more than Teddy. That stood out to me. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, joins us.
Courtesy of ROX, Rock, Seating, and Air.
Troy, what'd you think about the quarterback stuff today?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of what you saw, D-Mac. Probably I wasn't as excited about it just because of the context of the month. But Drew clearly won the day. He has not had a day like that when we've been able to view practice. He completed roughly 80% of his passes, and he looked sharp in the red zone. Whether the reads were easy or not, those aren't plays they make around here. So you still get credit for him. And Teddy didn't make those plays. He had to throw a couple balls away. But Teddy's still really accurate. He doesn't turn the ball over. So he did things we've seen from him. And it's just curious how it revealed today the differences in these quarterbacks, D-Mac, and you've talked about it. The upside of Drew Lock is greater. Can he take chances and take care of the ball? If he can, he would be the guy. But if he can't be consistent, you can see the coaches going, we know what we have in this guy, in Teddy. He's very consistent. We know what we're going to get game to game. And that has value in the league. Doesn't have a lot of watch value and must-see TV, but it certainly has value as you're trying to win NFL games.
Troy, of all the other practices that media has been at, it's pretty much been unanimous that Teddy has won almost all of them except for today. I'm curious if you've gotten any feel for behind the scenes, what's going on when media is not there. Have you gotten a vibe for which one of these quarterbacks has been playing better in the closed practices?
Not really, other than everyone I ask, it's that this is a true and honest competition, that if they wanted Drew to win the job, they would have said he's the starter and Teddy's here to back him up, and if Drew falters, he's the guy. I mean, they are seeing it as a competition. They're treating it that way. Teammates have been impressed with Drew Lock's offseason, and his command, you know, the offense is better because he's in the same offense for the second straight year. But Teddy also privately, I talk to players, draws high marks because he's just – he's a veteran who calms the waters. You know, he's calmer than a lagoon. When he gets in the huddle, there's this feeling of we're fine. We're going to. So they both have strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, again, you could see either one winning the job. I think in Drew's case, he does. Yeah, and you said it perfectly, Tyler. He doesn't need a bunch of days like today, because if he tries to have days like today, he's probably going to throw interceptions eventually. He just has to be consistent. It's like a hitter. You're going to have a 3-for-4 day, but when you're having a bad day, is it 0-for-2 with a walk, not 0-for-4 with three punchies? And if Drew can avoid those peaks and valleys, he can win it because of his upside. But it's really, for me, going to come down to his ability to take care of the football. And today he had a good day.
Any other notes, any other observations that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, Melvin Gordon, I asked him about, you know, he looked different to me, leaner. And he said his weight's the same, but he definitely had more burst and more, let's just look, more bounce in his step than I saw at any time in training camp last year. Mm. He wants a fresh start. I've talked to Melvin at length about this in the past. He wants a fresh start with this, and he looks different because he cut his hair.
He cut all his hair. It's funny. I'm reading this quote on Twitter on cutting his hair. I just needed some change. His dad told him, you'll lose the power of flash if you cut your hair. He was ticked off.
Oh.
So his dad was not supporting him.
That's in the Bible, man. It's Samson. You don't cut your hair off. You don't want to do that.
Right, right. So he did look different for a lot of reasons, I guess. Huh, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'd say. That the hair, you know, he did joke that his dad didn't want him to do it. But the hair, for me, is just symbolic of kind of his fresh start. He does look leaner. I mean, the guy's a workout fiend, so I was never worried, like, he's not going to be in shape.
Right.
Melvin Gordon loves working out. That's not the issue. He just looks leaner because his off season wasn't interrupted. He said to me today that I was, like, trying to sneak into gyms to get my workouts in. And this off season, he felt like he had a great off season. And this idea he's in competition, he's a clear leader over Javonte for now. Now, could it develop into something where, you know, Melvin ends up playing more on third and you give carries to Javonte Early, maybe. But the one thing they have to do if they're going to maximize Melvin Gordon, and this might be his last year here, they got to throw him the football. Melvin Gordon is a really good receiver. He showed that again today a couple times. He's great on wheel routes.
Yeah.
He averaged 50 catches a year for 3 years prior to the last year when Denver just forgot how to throw to the running backs. So get him involved in the passing game, and I think you're going to see that. But I think you are going to see a little bit different Melvin Gordon. It feels like a fresh start for him in many ways.
Good stuff, Troy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
That's Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider.
Brought to you by ROX, Rox Heating and Air.
All right, Kyle Fuller. we haven't seen him, or haven't heard from him, you know, but he's here. He was here. And based on the press conference that he did, we probably won't hear from him very much. So here we go. This is kind of fun. Are there any – now, hey, Richie, help me out here, too, just yesterday. These haven't really been edited, right? This is just – these were his responses.
I did not cut out any parts of his response.
Okay, so whatever we hear from Fuller, that's the answer he gave to the question.
In its entirety.
Okay, so we're not hamming things up here, Tyler, but here we go. Kyle Fuller, are there any differences in Fangio's defense when he played with them last?
Yeah, it's not too much of a difference.
Okay.
That's it.
Not big of a difference. There wasn't a whole lot to explain.
He answered the question.
Yeah, not too much of a difference.
That is not an edit. That's what he said.
Okay.
All right. We keep going down this road. Does that, there's a follow up. Does that help integrate him into this defense?
Yes.
That's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, does it help? Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You are taught in good old journalism school to avoid asking yes or no questions.
There you go.
You are taught that. Now, the vast majority of journalists ignore that.
Well, yeah, most athletes are polite enough to give a little bit of an expanded answer.
Correct.
Sure.
But
sure.
It's one of those things always in the back of my mind. Now, sometimes a yes or no question is good because you really do need to get a yes or a no.
Definitive.
Yes. Yeah. For example,
is Drew Locke your starting quarterback?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes just a yes or a no is all you really need there. Yeah. That's a great example.
Yeah.
All right. So Fuller right now is not doing anything he shouldn't do. Nothing. Zero. It was a yes or no question. He answered the question. That's your fault for asking a yes or no question if you want more than that. Fuller, between now and training camp, how does he go about his training?
I'm just in Arizona training, getting ready for training camp.
Now, we got a couple of epic ones. They go for like 5 or 6 seconds. Does he focus on anything specific in his training before training camp?
No, it's a lot of things. Everything, you know, to get me ready for training camp.
Okay.
Okay, so I think I see the trend. I think I see the direction that we're headed in right now.
What does the talent in the secondary allow them to do? Now, that's a pretty good question. That actually is a really good question because you could totally
schematically
expand.
You could do a lot of things based off the talent that
you've
got.
You could give compliments to your teammates that you're with here. That's actually a pretty good question right there.
The rest of the questions, you guys all ask bad questions, according to DMAC.
Well, yeah.
Really just go out there and make plays to help our team win football games.
You know what? Okay, I get it. I see where we're going. I understand the trend.
It's hysterical.
So here's the deal. I got to put my cleats back.
Can I do one more?
Sure,
just
sure.
One more.
Yeah,
one more.
Go
one
for
more. Because these are great. What are his expectations for this season? What are the expectations for this season?
Really just go out there, you know, play my best and help our team win football games.
There you go. I just wanted to get that in. Anyways, go ahead. Yes.
Well, first off, I think it is funny. Second off, I got to put my cleats back on the grass, as our friend Mark Schlereth likes to say, and put myself back into his shoes for 1 second. And as an offensive lineman, dude, I got to tell you, mad respect. Seriously, that's how you're supposed to handle the media if you're an offensive lineman. That's how we were born. That's how we were supposed to talk. Then once you retire, you can get diarrhea of the mouth and you can go join the media and become like the rest of us clowns. But while you're playing, no, yeah, you keep those answers short and simple, and there's a couple reasons to that. Well, number one, you don't want to be there. Number two, sometimes you get fined based off the length of your response. And then number three, if you want to not get interviewed again, Well, how do you pull that off, D-Mac?
Hey, he just did it.
Give a bad interview.
There you go, man.
Absolutely.
It reminds me so much, seriously, of when I came back to town for the Super Bowl year. It was my reunion with the Denver Broncos, my second go-around, and my second day back in the building. Nikki Javala, who's such a great friend of mine now, I really didn't know her at the time. She was kind of new from my first stop and my second stop.
Sure.
She comes up and super polite, super kind, says, hey, I want to do a featured story on you. And I turned to her and like as polite as I possibly can, I say, no, you don't. No, you don't want to write an article on me. She's like, no, I really do. Like people, it's a fascinating story.
It's
a hometown hero.
Of course.
And I'm like, nobody wants to hear about me. Nobody wants to hear. And so she starts asking me a few questions and I'm laughing as I'm saying this to her. So she knows that I'm playing a game and she understands the offensive lineman shtick.
Right.
So she's really not offended.
Right.
At least I hope. I think. But so I keep that up. And to this day, we always talk about how awkward our first interaction was. Well, I gave her an awkward interview intentionally so that she wouldn't come back to me anymore. Right.
Oh, that is funny.
So as an offensive lineman, mad respect. And seriously, jokes aside, you can tell when a guy is a jerk and when a guy just doesn't want to do an interview.
Correct.
There is no tone of being a jerk in this.
I completely agree. He just doesn't want to do it.
That I'm going to be respectful to you guys.
Yes,
I understand that you've got a job to do, and I understand that I have to be here.
Yep.
And by the tone in my voice, I'm going to make it clear that I do respect you, but no, I'm not going to do your job for you.
Right. He's not a bad guy.
No.
He's a smart guy. He's a seasoned vet. He doesn't like doing it. He doesn't like talking to the media for whatever his reasons are. And you know what? Kyle Fuller, we will respect that. We are here to say we will never ask Kyle Fuller ever to be on the radio station with us ever again.
Perfect.
Unless,
well done.
Well, we've never had him in the first place. So unless he, like, you know, wouldn't that be wild if there was a wacky reason why he wanted to come on? And then we'd be happy to. I can tell, by the way, even though it sounds crazy because his answers are so short, I'm actually, the way he approached that and the way he did that makes me really curious about what he thinks about things. But he doesn't want to share it. So you know what? Fine. You know, your boy Paradis was like that too.
Oh, that's how all offensive linemen were.
Yeah.
Until, you know, everybody got diarrhea of the mouth and now we're just like any other diva that wants to talk to the media.
And then you got like, you know, your KJ Hamlers of the world who want to, you know, do a stand-up routine, or you got, you know, Dalton Reisner,
exactly,
who clearly wants to run for office at some point.
I mean, super kind human being, definitely is going to be a politician,
no doubt, and
legitimately is probably a 100% better human being than I am. But from an offensive lineman perspective, diarrhea of the mouth, likes talking to the media.
Kyle Fuller, we'll never have you on. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. What do you think about Locke and Bridgewater?
I think they both done well. Obviously, they're getting more comfortable with the offense. I see them operating a little quicker, a little faster with their decisions, you know, comparing it to the first few days to now. And I think both of them have benefited greatly from the work we've done.
Teddy Bridgewater, how are you going to approach each practice during a competition?
You know, they just keep shooting. You don't get carried away in what's going on. You just keep playing ball. When I'm out there, I understand my job is just to find completions, get the ball to my guys and not my opponents, keep our offense on the field. So, you know, everything else will take care of itself. It's one play at a time when you're out there, you look too far ahead, and that's when you fall. So just keep shooting. That's the mindset.
And Drew Locke, what kind of improvements have you made?
I would say the biggest step that, you know, I tried to make, and it was, you know, kind of reiterated to me over this offseason, was just working on protections, knowing where I'm hot and knowing how to face it. And if they get us, we didn't see it, just knowing where that hot's going to be, where that hot's coming from.
And today, it was fascinating. Took notes on every single play in 7-on-7 and team 11-on-11. Tyler graded out based on very bland notes, by the way. There was no exaggeration. It was just literally what happened on the play.
Did the best I could with the information that I had.
And they graded out equal.
Yeah.
However, when it came to scoring plays, red zone opportunities, Drew Locke, not only did he outshine Teddy Bridgewater, but he may have outshined Teddy Bridgewater because he was actually given more opportunity to outshine Teddy Bridgewater, because they did, in terms of what they called for plays, allow Drew Lock to throw it around a little bit more than Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, you bring it up, and our man Richie did some great work behind the scenes. He tallied it all up for us. I've got the totals here, and you're right. For sure, Drew Lock got more opportunities to throw the ball. In both team periods combined, Drew Lock got to throw 10 passes. Teddy Bridgewater got to throw 5. In both team periods combined, Drew Lock had 6 handoffs. Teddy Bridgewater had 11. So, yeah, you're right. For sure, Drew definitely had more opportunities to showcase his abilities in the passing game.
Now, we are pretty deep in a spring under Drew's summer football here. That, to me, seems like that's not an accident. Like, it does seem to me like, well, one guy, this is what he does, and the other guy, this is what he does.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if you're sitting there coming up with a game plan for Teddy Bridgewater, your game plan is not going to be for him to throw the ball 45 times per game. You're going to try to hand the ball off as much as you possibly can, although I would argue that you should have a very similar game plan for Drew Lock as well. More so that there's got to be just this deep-level curiosity, even amongst the coaches, similar to what we talk about on a day-in, day-out basis. Yeah, we see the upside with Drew, and we see the excitement, and we want to give him the opportunity to prove that to us. Go out there and do it. Be exciting. Throw 3 touchdowns. But we're going to give you more opportunities. We also don't want you to have the mistakes if you get more opportunities, right? So I think they are tested. Here's what it is. Simple as this. The coaches agree with everything that we've said.
Basically, yeah.
You know who Teddy Two Gloves is. And the coaches know who he is as well. They don't need to see anything. They don't need Teddy to prove anything to him. They don't need him to show that he could throw an out route or that he could throw the ball 45 times per game. They need Drew Lock to show that he can get rid of the bad stuff. So they're probably intentionally putting him in more stressed periods where he gets more opportunities to throw the ball to see if he can overcome all of that.
Why do you think they switched up the quarterback rotation late into the practice?
I don't know.
Was that common? Would that happen?
It would. Okay. I mean, first off, I wasn't around very many quarterback battles, but when you just talk about a positional battle, you generally speaking give the first series to the incumbent,
the guy
that previously had the job.
He's got that every single time except for once.
And then the majority of the series you will give to the incumbent because that's a respect deal. But every now and then you sprinkle in a series where the challenger gets to come out the gates first just so that he knows that I'm getting a legitimate crack at this.
And that happened one time today. But look at the plays. Even. Completely even. Our boy Rippin, 2 plays.
Yep. Stuff, man.
What'd you say, 32? I didn't even count them up. 32 for Lock, 32 for...
Yeah, they each had 32 snaps.
And Rippin had...
Brett Rippin had 2. Yep.
You want to talk about a tough... I mean, talk about knowing your place, right? I mean, that's
more,
that.
More plays on the day than I would have thought of. Now, a lot of these are 11-on-11. I don't know how many of these were actual team, but it's more plays than I would have thought.
2?
No, not for
Brett. more total plays. Gotcha, yeah. gotcha. Well, it was... Really? That was more? It always feels like they could have more plays.
Well, all right, Richie, one more tally project. Sorry. it won't be hard. How many of these plays are actual team periods versus 11-on-11 or versus 7-on-7? How many of them are actual team periods, right? Because, you know, during the OTA sessions, didn't we hear that they were taking like 20 snaps total, something like that?
Yeah.
It was really, really low.
Right. I can even add it up really quick.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Here.
See, I wouldn't dare do math on the fly.
So
I'd put that on Richie.
16, 11 in the first, and sevens was 12.
So 28 plays total were 11-on-11?
Yep. Oh, no. 16 were 11-on-11 in the first sort of session of practice. And so 16, 11-on-11 plays, 12 7-on-7 plays.
Okay, but you didn't do the total.
What 28 total plays with 7-on-7 and.
No. But the rest of the half of the practice, right?
That was just the first one. On the second on the second set, it was 16 as opposed to 16. Actually, it was equal. So they did the same amount.
So roughly like 44 snaps of 11-on-11 football, give or take, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I see what you're saying. 16 and 16. Yeah.
32.
Yeah.
Boy. See, I told you we shouldn't do this live.
That's why
I gave it to Richie.
Right, that's a good
point. I was trying to not expose myself live on air, and then you just kept pressing me, and then I kept saying numbers because I felt like, well, if I don't respond, people are going to think I'm dumb. But then I just exposed myself by responding, and now everybody knows that I'm dumb.
He's a complicated fella.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Thanks.
303-713-1043. Man, people are all over the place on the text line. Oh, you're ripping on Fuller. Don't rip on Fuller. He's not a jerk. That was fine. Don't worry about that. Isn't the question more whether Fangio is more comfortable with the offense, such as when to use timeouts in this offense? Ripping on Fangio. Fangio, by the way, on a 100-degree weather alert day, we have a weather alert because of heat today. Fangio, gray sweatshirt, shorts, same exact outfit he would wear if it was 40 degrees.
Well, that's consistency for you. That's what we're looking for out of Drew Locke. You know, that's Teddy Two Gloves. That's who Vic Fangio is. And then Drew Locke, how many sleeves did he have on his one sleeve today? Did he have on the half sleeve?
It looked like the one long sleeve, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he should wear either no sleeves or both sleeves. Maybe we need consistency. You know, maybe the alternate sleeve thing is throwing him off.
Oh, people. Did you shoot yourself in the leg is a yes or no question.
That's true. That's a good point. Good time for yes
or no.
That's
good. Vaughn, is marijuana part of your life? That was a yes or no question. And Vaughn said no, by the way. That was a yes or no question, and Vaughn said
no. Did he expand on it?
No.
He just said no?
God, I don't think we do have that. You know, that is so long ago. That was great, though. Vaughn was in big trouble for that stuff. Big trouble. Hadn't talked to the media. Had a tough, rough, weird offseason. It was the day before. The Broncos always, media does always such a great job. Hey, man, if you haven't talked or you're in the middle of things, get on out there. We're just going to get to it. And they put Vaughn out there, and that was the day before training camp started, whatever year it was. And he had talked for a long time, and nobody really asked him about the marijuana. I mean, that was not the first question. That was like close to the last question of the entire press conference. I was like, you know.
Well, yes or no. Good job. You picked the right times.
On that one, yeah. Start Drew for the first three quarters. If we have the lead, bring in Teddy as the reliever. Well, that comment right there gets to the baseball part of me, Tyler. I gotta check myself here. Because I know baseball thinking in a football world does not work well. But the baseball part of me does say, if one guy is sort of struggling, we can put another guy in, or we can mix and match, and we can do whatever it takes to win this game. Kind of what the Dolphins did last year with Tua and Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
But I mean, in general, that goes against the vast majority of football philosophy.
I hate that philosophy. I would not want to operate behind that philosophy. But there is something to be said about a spark guy, and there's something to be said about a guy that isn't going to lose the game for you. No, I'm not advocating that Teddy Bridgewater would start the game and Drew Locke would come in the fourth quarters. But if, say, for example, Teddy Bridgewater got the nod in New York. He was the first guy to go out there, first start of the season. I would not be hesitant to put Drew Locke in when you needed a spark plug at all. I mean, at all.
Okay. Well, me neither.
Here's what I want, and here's what every guy on that team wants. I can promise you. Every guy on that team wants it to be over after minicamp. It's okay. It's not ideal that you've got a 50-50 battle going on during OTAs and during minicamp, but you want to know when you go into training camp who your alpha is. And I'm not talking just the leader of your offense. I'm talking the alpha of your entire team. This is the dude that everybody will respond to and everybody has to answer to. So I don't think that's going to happen. I know that we're going into training camp. I know that we're going to have split reps. But as a player, you don't want that at all.
Hot Take Tuesday, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. People are, well, boy, I guess I'm off the Drew Locke hater shelf today, but you're still there.
Me?
I know.
How dare you? How dare you?
I guess
see,
I'm safe.
See now.
Today I'm safe.
Oh man, that was good. See what you did there? You gave me your analysis of practice.
It wasn't an analysis.
You broke it down.
Right. It was just a description.
Okay.
Right.
You gave me your description.
Yes.
And I simply took your description and I put a real NFL grade on it based off of that description. No, but you can't be mad at me today, people. I mean, be mad at me other days.
Here we go.
I wasn't at practice. This was D-Max analysis.
Here we go. Well,
D-Max the hater, not me.
My interpretation of what happened today was I said Drew Lock dominated Teddy Bridgewater. And he did when it came to red zone scoring opportunities, that sort of thing. True. But if you did look at the practice as a whole, as you graded things out, because there were missteps kind of early on. There was hesitation. There were some issues. At the end of the day, it kind of graded out even. But there is zero doubt at the end of practice, when you're simulating what you're going to do when you're about to score, Drew Lock was way better today than Teddy Bridgewater. So I walked away from it like, oh, well, I value that a hell of a lot more than I value other stuff that I saw. But what am I? Of course I'm going to believe you when you say at the end of the day, D-Mac, hey, listen, this is how they do it in the NFL. This is how they grade things. This is how it works out. They don't give more value to that situation. Now, if we want to have an argument about should they give more value to that, well, okay. But they don't. And there's nothing about the Broncos that indicates they're new school about, frankly, anything. So I have no idea why you would expect them to think more of those periods than the whole practice in total. I'm sure you're 100% right. Sure they graded exactly the way that you laid it out.
It's, I guess, just not as simple as that, because you got to say, by saying that, you're implying that throwing the touchdowns doesn't give you extra credit. It does. It does. It's just that when you grade 11 on 11, you're going to grade it the same way that you're grading 7 on 7. They both give you a grade, and you have to analyze based off the plays that you have, based off the situations that they were in. And so, yeah, you can get extra credit for doing a good play. You can get an extra minus for taking a sack when you shouldn't take a minus. It's just that, no, situationally, it does not change. Sort of does, though. I mean, I guess I'm riding the fence a little bit. Situationally, it does change based off, like, when you throw a touchdown pass, that is more important. So you get an extra credit point for that.
Here's what's cool. We can do this tomorrow and Thursday as well.
There you go.
As long as I have practice
Man,
on Thursday.
Man, you got to be dialed in. You better not be having any mung bean conversations, talking to anybody about the diet, like advising. I mean, if you get hung up for 30 seconds talking about
mung
bean.
You could lose a play.
Yeah, and then it's all off.
You're right.
Then the tally's wrong. And
yep.
Then I graded somebody, and then everybody now thinks that I'm a Drew Lock hater. Well,
right.
They already think that.
We actually had a typo today that impacted that.
Right. See, it wasn't my fault. It was D-Mac's typo. Not mine. I didn't have the typo. You did.
LOL. Can't believe, this is the text, can't believe you can say you're not a Drew hater with a straight voice. He's talking to you, not me.
Definitely not. I mean, with a straight voice, I'll tell you, 100%, I'm rooting for Drew Lock to win the job. 100%, this team is in a better situation if Drew Lock is your starting quarterback, because you've got a chance at having a franchise QB. So, you know, I guess I can.
Do you want to hear the rest of the text?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Sure. Does I get sensitive? Yeah.
A little bit.
Put me up. Find me.
A little bit.
Yeah.
How many T-days did Teddy throw, Ty? Well, if the receivers.
What's a T-day?
If the receivers were good, he would have had 5. Drew Lock had 3 drop passes that would have been picked if Champ was on the field in his prime. Ty squinting and licking the point of a pencil. I don't know.
I didn't understand any of that.
So those 3 TDs are negative 35. Teddy's potential TDs are positive 47.
What?
He's trying to make fun of you.
Yeah.
That's the quote.
I get the joke, but now, like, sensitivity meter high, I guess, suppose. Seriously, this grading system is as simplistic as it could possibly get.
Right.
This is how you get graded in the NFL. This is real. This is how you still get graded in the NFL. And it does take opinion out of the equation so that you don't have a biased decision. It's simple. A plus minus. There's no room for error in that system. It's not like each play you're saying, okay, I'm going to give him a 75% or I'm giving him a 60%.
Yeah.
No, it's did you get the plus or not?
These texts are great today. You guys are awesome. You're on fire. Yeah, let's start Teddy, a quarterback that throws the ball away on fourth down. That did happen today, and I'll never forget it happening.
What was the situation?
Handy dandy notebook. It was actually Teddy's last rep of the day. It was the fourth play of a four-play sequence. There was a handoff, two handoffs. Then on a third down play, they were like at the 8-yard line. It was a throw in the left-hand corner that was being tightly covered, and he, you know, it did look like, hey, I'm going to put it somewhere. If the guy gets it, okay, fine, but it's not going to be intercepted. It was one of those type of throws.
But so,
and then the next play, same yard line, fourth down. They moved the yard marker. They put fourth down up on the yard marker, okay? And this play went to the right side, and the guy actually did look kind of open. And I think Teddy just lofted it. It was just a bad throw.
Where are you on the field, though?
Oh, I could not have possibly been closer.
No, not you. I meant, where is the team? What's the situation? Is it red zone?
From the 8-yard line. It's fourth down from the 8-yard line.
Yeah, that's totally inexcusable. I mean, so there are situations where you go for it on fourth down, and you would say, I still don't want to have a turnover here.
Right.
But, I mean, if it's fourth and goal, you're going for it?
Fourth and goal from the 8.
Yeah, it's touchdown or nothing.
I mean, you're in a kind of a desperate situation, obviously, at that point, too.
That's actually a little bit of a chicken move, to be totally honest with you. You didn't have the guts to go for it in a situation where, actually, the situation demands that you go for it.
Correct. It was like, like, it was one of those moments of like, wow, that just happened, huh? I mean, of course, because I'll never forget the situation was inside the field house when Paxton Lynch was rolling through. And they were doing a move the ball drill with Paxton Lynch. In fact, they were doing a move the ball drill, like, the time's clicking, like 2 minute. This wasn't 2 minute, by the way. But the Paxton Lynch thing was 2 minute. They had the score on the scoreboard, Tyler. Like, they were really simulating a real game. For the sake of argument, they were down. They were losing 20-15. There were 4 seconds to go. You had to get the ball off, and this is it. And Paxton Lynch rolled to the right and zipped it not only over the receiver's head, but the media was assembled in the corner, threw it in the field house 10 feet over the media who were standing against the wall's head. It was so egregious. Egregious.
Boom.
That I took a
smart guy over here.
Right. I took a photo of the ball mark on the wall.
Nice.
In fact, I think that's still like on a Facebook page that I have because it was such a like, you got to be kidding me moment.
Needed the evidence.
It was up there with Mark Sanchez who took a knee on third down with 5 seconds to go and no timeouts where all you needed to do was ground the ball and he took a knee.
Wait, hold on. Now I'm curious. Did Mark Sanchez do that also? Because Kirk Cousins did that as well.
Oh, well, Mark.
Are you thinking of Kirk
or
did they both do it?
You're telling me news about Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Kirk did the exact same thing.
Dude, it was, I'll never forget it because Aqib Talib and Chris Harris may be the biggest jerks in the world for what they did afterwards. So here's the play. It's a situation just to get the kicker on the field. It's really nothing for the offense. It's a situation where you snap the ball, spike it. You are practicing spiking the ball and getting your kicker
on
the field.
Oh, no.
Sanchez takes a step back and takes a knee. Aqib Talib and Chris Harris instantly realize what had just happened. They start jumping up and down because they realize we just
won the game.
Right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Paxton also would take off. Paxton Lynch, going back to him, he would take off in 7-on-7 drills. Like when the entire point of the drill is to throw the football.
Right.
He would run.
Well, Tebow used to do that, too. You know what they did today? Both Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke were in that same situation in 7-on-7. You hesitate, they'll eventually blow the whistle. And you really should do what they did. It wasn't open. I'm going to move around. They're going to blow the whistle. It's dead. But Tebow would, before the whistle was blown, Tyler, in 7-on-7, he would...
take off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Nobody knows.
No clue. Mount Palumbus Peak next.